This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt McNeil. Patrick here as well. I am back after a fairly long vacation, which, I got to tell you the truth, I had a fantastic time there, Patrick.
Really, really glad to hear that. I've got a little message for you, too.
What's that? Oh, there you go.
Welcome back.
Oh, yes.
Your dreams were.
I remember when this was a hit. This song was a hit. And I remember when the TV show was a hit, too, which makes me an old man. Okay, I think that's our first lesson today, kids. I'm old. There you go. Let's run down the crew here. First, Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN, 1580 AM in Columbus. Waukesha, hello. Have they deloused you from the Trump visit? I hope so. WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM, the Shaw. Bulls Fall Radio, WXCO, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM in Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, hello. Locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. And, of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul, I love you so much. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So here's the deal. What had happened is my wife told me, this is earlier this spring, she said, you know, Charlie, my son, my oldest child, he is at the University of Minnesota. He's turning 21 this fall. I mean, wow. Yeah. And he's going to be becoming a junior at college there. What ended up happening was my wife said, you know, if we did a really nice trip someplace, flew there, Airbnbs, hotels, what we needed to do, do you think we could get Charlie to come with us for one more family trip? I said, we could ask. I said, where were you thinking? And she said, I've wanted to go see the parks. Now, when I say that, there are a lot of great parks out there, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, of course, there. Nationally, Glacier is gorgeous. Acadia, Maine, just beautiful. The Everglades, wonderful parks. But when you say this, you kind of know where you're headed. You're going to go to the West. And so we wanted to go down Grand Canyon and Zion the rest of them there, just to go see as many of them as we could. Bryce Canyon, and yeah, it just was spectacular. So we kind of coordinated this out, and we were able to pull it off, which was kind of fun. And he said, sure. And so we did like when the kids were 12, 13 years old, we loaded on up, flew to Vegas. Okay. I'm going to do a show about Vegas this week. I got to talk about Vegas. Vegas. Okay. I'll talk about Vegas. And I know, don't at me. I know there are a lot of people that love Vegas. I get that. There are a lot of people that that love gambling, and they're very good at gambling, and they like going out there, and they like having fun, and they get comps and all that stuff. I get that. But the vast majority of people go to Vegas, it's manufactured entertainment for people with regret. And it's just, man, I saw they had some flooding going on there. That might actually take care of the smell of urine. Oh, God. It was down on Fremont Avenue. Fremont. You know what Fremont, Patrick, you know Fremont Avenue. That's the old, old Vegas.
Yep.
Where you two filmed the video. It is just, we were there at 11 o'clock. It was already 103 degrees. That day the one day we were in Vegas, which was the third, that Wednesday, it was 107 that day. Oh, God.
But it's a dry heat.
Oh, jeez. We went into the casinos.
Actually, I was going to say, it's kind of monsoony down there this time of year, so it might have been a little more humid in Vegas than
It was pretty dry. It was pretty and smelly. Boy.
That's making me think of the French Quarter. That place cacophony of smells.
The French Quarter only wishes it achieved Vegas at 107 degrees. I mean, there isn't. I swear to God, I know they just had floodwaters and all my best of the people in Vegas, but the reality is I still think the smells are going to win. I think, that the best you got? Let's turn it up to 11. Oh, God. So I quickly got out of Vegas. We got in a car, drove up to Utah. And what we ended up doing, and we kind of fell into this accidentally, is start at the top of the hill. And if you don't, there's going to be a term here called the Grand Staircase. Now, there is a park, actually not a park, a national monument. National monument named Escalante Grand Staircase, which I went to, which is gorgeous. But Grand Staircase actually refers to basically all the parks from mid-central Utah down to the Grand Canyon. And what it's referring to is the top of the pile, which is really Cedar Breaks and Bryce Canyon. Those are the ones at the top. That's the top of the Colorado Plateau, they call it. And it's basically a salute to erosion, for lack of a better way to say it. But it's been spectacular, the results here. You start at the top, Cedar Breaks, Bryce Canyon. You go down a little bit. You get Zion in there. You get Capitol Reef on in there. You get a little further south. You get into Escalante Grand Staircase itself. Then you get into Vermilion Cliffs. You get into Antelope Canyon. You go on down into Arizona. And then then you get to the very bottom of the Grand Staircase is the Grand Canyon. And so we started at the top. We went to Cedar Breaks first. Then we went to Zion. And I got tons of photos. I got them all edited. I'm going to get them out. They're spectacular. I look forward to sharing those with you. If you're not following me on the social media pages, please do. At Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. I like to poke you. Anyway. Do they still poke? They don't still poke on Facebook, do they?
They do have those. No, they're just hard to find.
Well, God, I don't want to know what you're doing in your spare time, Patrick. All right. Search poke online. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Some results may be explicit. Well, that wasn't what I was looking for.
Oh, God. Oh, there's a lot of jokes that are – okay, folks, I'm going to apologize now, especially all the fine folks in Wisconsin who are listening right now. You've got to understand, I come back from vacation. I have got like 5,000 pounds of jokes ready to go. Get ready. Buckle up, kids. Anywho, so we started Cedar Breaks at Bryce. Go down to Zion. Gorgeous. I'll share all the pictures on social media. Follow me there. Get on down. We went from Vegas to Cedar Breaks, and Cedar Breaks is a tiny little thing. It's actually not a park. It's a monument. And let me explain the difference between a national park and a national monument, because this will – spoiler alert coming up here. I'll tell you a little bit about this. National parks are phenomenal. They are. I mean, if you want tax dollars at work, go to one of the national parks, Zion, Bryce, Capitol Reef, the Grand Canyon. Go to one of them. Holy God, are they some of the most efficiently run things I've ever seen. The accessibility for all of them is off the charts. Anyone can go in there. You can be a person who really has mobility issues, and you can get to the national parks and get out right there and see everything. It is brilliant. They have set this up wonderfully. It is truly, like I say, there are a lot of people, especially Republicans, who will kind of badmouth the national parks. The national parks are phenomenal. National monuments are a touch different. They haven't spent the money on the directions, so you get this. You go yonder for a spell and look for the oak. And you're like, okay, what? And I'm not joking. That kind of was to go to Slot Canyon in Escalante Grand Staircase. That was, you go 11.1 miles, go a mile past the bridge and look for the cottonwood tree. Oh, good. My botany classes will finally come into play here. But to give her credit, by the way, there was one huge cottonwood tree, and considering how nothing grows in the freaking desert, I can understand why that's a point of interest for them down there. What is that? It's a tree. It's we have them all over the place in Minnesota. By the way, come on up. It's fantastic. You'll love it up here. It's in Wisconsin, tons of trees. Great parks, too. You'll love it over there. So there's your difference between a monument and there. Monuments kind of have the bare basic stuff, and Cedar Breaks is a fairly tiny one as far as a national monument goes, but it's, like I said, it's at the top of the Grand Staircase there. You go from that, we went to Zion, which spectacular. You know, just walking down this canyon, and 500 yards to your left is a 6,000-foot mountain. 500 yards to your right is a 6,000-foot mountain. And you're like, wow, this is just amazing. Just spectacular. Bryce. God, Bryce Canyon and the Hoodoos. All these kind of weathered, eroded statues. Oh, went from there. We were staying in Kanab for that, and then we moved over to Escalante, the town of Escalante itself. Went to Capitol Reef. Got lost hiking in the desert. Seriously. Thank God we did have a creek next to us, and everyone just said, follow the creek up and you'll be fine. But we actually had that moment where we were out hiking in a national monument, not a lot of directions, yonder for a spell. We ended up getting lost. We ended up not dying. Thank God. Capitol Reef, underappreciated park. Holy God, is Capitol Reef gorgeous. More in Escalante, got down, went to Page, went and saw the Horseshoe Canyon, went and saw the Antelope Canyon, which is phenomenal. You can't take a bad picture in Antelope Canyon. Got on over to the Vermilion Cliffs, Navajo Bridge, then Grand Canyon, then back to Vegas. That was the rundown. Now, I know some people out there saying, Matt, you know, here's the deal. Wouldn't you basically be afraid that you're in conservative territory? A surprising observation about that. I'll talk about that when I do come back. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Monday. Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you with us. I'm back from my trip. By the way, you should go to the parks of the West. You should. There are brilliant. The geniuses who put these lands aside. My God, you've got to go see this to believe it. I'll post photos, but I'll be the first to say, my photos don't do it justice. It doesn't even come close. You've got to go lay your own eyeballs on it to believe it. And it is amazing out there. Just it is amazing. I will post a ton of photos on that a little bit later on. I'll get to the MAGA stuff from the West here in a second. But I did want to make sure I point out two other things here. And first is one fault. I don't have anything but praise for the national parks. I think they do a great job. But I do have one complaint. How in the hell do you not have Native American historians in every single park talking about, oh, I don't know, the thousands of years worth of history they can talk about before Whitey got there. And the fact that, you know, by the way, this was all Native American land. You know, we might have been willing to share it with you guys, but you guys are obsessed with property lines, for God's sakes. And needless to say, stole all of this from us, and you know, we just need to make sure that's part of the understanding. It doesn't mean you have to sign over your house and your car and your dog or anything like that. It just means you need to understand the true history of where we are at and how we got here. And if you go to these national parks, not the monuments per se, but the parks, they all have kind of a free speech zone. you see a lot of religious groups in there. Great. Yeah, that's what I want to go. I want to go to the national park to be told that, you know, Jesus is a trickster. You know, you know, all these dinosaur bones that keep falling around here. Tricky, tricky, tricky. Oh, really? Really? So he's kind of, you know, like, is this like punked, you know, global style? What are you doing? Stop. Anywho. And that, by the way, and I say that as a Christian, myself. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm a former Catholic, now kind of a Lutheran. So you get it. I get it. But, you know, I'm not at the parks for you to judge and shame. Now, to be honest, none of them really came on out there and kind of like grabbed us like, you know, a drugged up SpongeBob in Vegas saying, your kids want pictures with me. Based on a true story, by the way. No, this is, you know, they're just there, which is fine. You want a free speech zone, more power to you. Fine. This isn't about just giving them a token place. There should be, in every national park, at every national monument, a Native American expert there to just talk. My God, the historical, the fascinating historical records they have of just the people themselves surviving in, spoiler alert, the desert. It's not exactly a great place to grow things. I got another show coming up later this week, by the way, on whether or not we should give them water. Spoiler alert, oh hell no, until they change a lot of things. I'll get to that later this week, though. Trust me, a lot of things I got to talk about. So, you know, but why don't we have Native American historians in every one of these national parks? The stories, the knowledge, the culture. I mean, my gosh, they were growing crops on the riverbanks in the desert and had figured out a way to create storage bins on the cliffs that was able to keep grain. And they did this amazingly. And white guy comes in and runs them off the land. That's what happened. It doesn't discount the history, and it's just making sure all the history is there. And let me tell you something, you conservative little buttercups out there. Oh, boo freaking who. Your feelings are hurt because guess what? Grandpappy didn't like the Native Americans. Well, maybe, just maybe, you can just fix a lot of this by saying, you know what? That wasn't right. And we have a lot of wrongs with the Native Americans we need to fix. We have a lot of wrongs. For God's sakes, we've just had a crisis where we've discovered hundreds, if not thousands, of dead Native American kids at these prison schools. We have a lot to atone for. A simple, easy, historically accurate way we can start doing that is having Native Americans at every national park saying, oh, would you like to learn the history? Well, the first peoples came here somewhere in the area 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. They were drawn to the river. They were able to grow crops. They were able to be successful. Oh, by the way, then came the Spanish, then came the English, then came the Americans, then came whomever. There's nothing wrong with that. That's historical fact. And just because boo-boo kitty conservative over in the corner doesn't like you, I don't want to hear how bad we were. Shut up, you idiot. Same people that keep trying to rewrite history and talk about how Reagan was a great guy. One other quick little point about this. Can I say this about the South? Southwest, I can say this. Why do your restaurants suck? Seriously. Patrick, I am going to the Southwest. Tell me, what food do I want to eat?
Probably something with chilies
in it. Yeah, there's my boy. Yeah, that's right. I missed you. Oh, I missed you. You're exactly right. Some good Southwestern cuisine. Spices, chilies, delicious. Now, Utah, okay. I'm going to just presume something's wrong with Utah because I went... coming to CBS this fall, there's something wrong with Utah. No, there is something wrong with Utah because I went and ordered Mexican food in Utah, and it would be like if someone explained spices to someone from South Dakota who then relayed it to someone from Maine and then sent it back to Utah and said, here it is. My wife ordered a taco bowl. They brought her basically a high school cafeteria taco bowl from the days of yore when I was like 16 years old at Edina High School. It was that bad. I mean, dear Lord, how are you this bad at this? Now, there was three redemptions. There was a barbecue place we stumbled upon in Vegas, which was fantastic. But that was kind of an outlier, and it was barbecue from the southeastern United States, not the southwest. But there was, on the way to Grand Canyon, there was a, on Navajo land, there was a restaurant there, and they were run by the Navajo community, and they had the fry bread. Oh, my God. Oh, fry bread. Okay, let's just chat about that for a second. That's delicate and delicious. The only problem I had with it is that what they did was take a lot of American traditions, white American traditional foods, and just put it on fry bread. Now, I can scrape off the other stuff that you put on there and just eat the fry bread like the next guy. But just, hey. We also, when I was in Page, Arizona, did happen to stumble upon an amazing southwestern Mexican restaurant. Phenomenal. But by far, just keep your digestive hopes in check if you head to the southwestern United States. Just, I'm doing this to you as a favor, okay? Just want to make sure you're aware of that. Let's take a break. Come on back. I am going to get into the MAGA stuff, the stuff that was going on out there. 952-946-6205. Broadcasting on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show on your Monday. Good to be back from the vacation. And thanks once again to Todd Mickelson for filling in as well as Brett for filling in as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I went to the parks of the West. I went to Utah, into Arizona, and into Vegas. And I know that there are some people out there like, man, oh God, I'm not against going out there, but God, isn't that really hardcore conservative territory? I mean, would you really, really want to go on out there? I can't believe that you would view a good Democrat, a good progressive, sometimes occasionally even a liberal. I can't believe you'd go on out there. Now, I knew that. Now, first of all, I'm not one of these people that, for the most part. Now, and I'm going to make one exception here in just a second, but I don't believe in not going places just because it's in a place where my politics don't necessarily mesh. I'll take it from Henry Winkler, who, if you're not following his fantastic Twitter feed where he goes fishing, and if I could only have the joy that man has in every picture he does with a fish, yes, with a fish, I wish that's leading a great life. Henry Winkler is an absolute hero of mine, and he was out fishing in Idaho. Now, I guarantee you Henry Winkler and most people in Idaho don't agree on a lot of things politically, but he was there to fish. I'm not going to Utah to do my show on the road. Do you know I'm a progressive radio host back in Minneapolis, St. Paul? Sir, this is a Culver's. Oh, okay. No, I go there because I wanted to go see these parks. But I will say that I came across something that was fairly stunning because I am in southern rural Utah, rural northern Arizona. I didn't see much of it. I did see some. And like I said, I'll talk about that. But for the most part, it seems as if most of the people in that area understand where the bread gets buttered. And it's tourism. And if they turn this into Trump, that basically all you're going to do is push tourism away. And that is something that every one of these small towns that I came through, and I'm talking small towns, that you go through in southern Utah and in northern Arizona, they are desperate to maintain the tourism. There were a few exceptions. When you leave Vegas to go up, you have to go up Interstate 15, which kind of goes through Vegas, cuts through a very northwestern corner of Arizona, and then shoots into Utah. And you take that up to a town called Cedar City. And I got off in Cedar City, and indeed there was one or two Trump flags that were there. And this is the first time we've gotten away from Vegas. And we were up there. I'm like, oh, okay, just for young kids, just prepare yourself. This is what they're like here. And for the most part, I didn't see anything else like that until the last day. Until the last day. You got up into the mountains where Cedar Breaks is, and nothing. There weren't any signs. There were some political signs, but, you know, I mean, didn't even say which political party they were for, and it wasn't like, you know, bringing conservative values home. Nothing like that. No, it was just kind of modest political signs. Even for Mike Lee, I think it is, the senator that's running for office again out there, you know, just, but even his were just kind of these very, you know, occasionally you'd see them, but they weren't in your face. They weren't, you know, some 50 by 50 flag, some moron who barely can afford his house payments is flying in his yard. Nothing. Nothing around Zion, nothing around Bryce, nothing around Capitol Reef, nothing around Grand Staircase Escalante. Nothing. And I went through a lot of small towns, man. A lot of small towns. Nothing. One of the other times politics came up, we were in the Grand Canyon, and we're at, if you're on the South Rim Trail, they have a geology museum, which is fascinating. And by the way, one of the most fascinating things I learned, and I'm a kind of a science geek. Yeah. What are you going to do? One of the coolest things that I found out was at the Grand Canyon, there aren't any dinosaurs. All the dinosaur levels, as I told you, the Grand Staircase itself is basically a salute to erosion. All the dinosaur levels are eroded. They're gone. Basically, it's like, you know, trilobites or whatever. That's like the biggest thing that you can find in the layers there. And it goes back to 1.8 billion years ago at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. That's how old the rocks are down there. I mean, that's like single cell organisms, I think. I can't remember my, you know, the evolution glasses, but yeah, just amazing. Just amazing. So we're in the geology and they're talking about the geology there. And if you go to the South Rim of the Grand Canyon, one of the formations you will see is the Isis Temple. Now, I saw this earlier that day, and I said, well, that clearly was named about 100 years ago, wasn't it? It's the Isis Temple, of course, the Egyptian deity Isis, named after her, and appropriate. It's a desert-like climate down there, and it's a very lovely structure by the Isis Temple. So I'm in the geology museum on the South Rim Trail, and there's this guy. And let me paint the picture for you. This guy, you know, kind of a thinner guy, you know, for a bunch of conservatives who try to act like I'm not like those metrosexuals, you know, that kind of guy. Dude, you spend way too much on your daily care regime to be able to start bickering about anyone else. He had a styled goatee. Tattoos running up the arm, kind of one of these thin guys. He's there with his buddy, and you hear this, Isis Temple, what do you bet you go down there? There's a throne for Obama. Oh, God. It wasn't that funny, even in your own mind. Stop cackling like you're having a seizure, you moron. Now, I will also, if I can paint the full picture here, the woman standing next to him was, I'm presuming, his wife, who looked like she was ready to go on an axe murdering spree. Because as Johnny Chuckles over here was trying to lay down the comedy routine in the geology shop, she was supposed to manage the five chitlins that were running around the place. And Howler Monkey exhibit would be too dignified to describe these five children. Two of which were on, there's a sign that says, please do not get up on this shelf. And they're up on the shelf. They're clearly desperately looking for attention from their father, who is more interested in cracking the Jekyll Hut. Oh, yes. Yeah, dude, you suck at being a dad. I can just tell you that right now. I can look around that room and be like, dude, you suck at being a dad. So before you start sitting there and putting down your comedy routine, why don't you actually realize what job you've got there? Because I don't think the missus is too happy with your ignoring of reality. Anyway, Like I said, lots of jokes built up. It's all here. It's going to come spilling out next few weeks. Just sit back and enjoy. The last day we were there, we drove out of Grand Canyon. We had to get from Grand Canyon over to Vegas. We had to head down to Route 66. Well, actually, it's Interstate 40 in the northern part of Arizona. But the old Route 66 went through Williams and went through Kingman. And here is where I'm going to say something, which I generally do not say. If you are a Democrat, if you are a progressive, if you are a liberal, avoid Route 66, U.S. Route 66. Get your kicks on. Now, kicks, first of all, they're elderly. You're probably not going to do too much of that. It is just MAGA world. It is a theme park. Route 66 is a theme park to conservatives. And I am a guy who's a little bit more, I can take a little bit of this. But I got to tell you, the when I'm sitting there and I'm reading the sign that was on the wall here. This is the diner we had breakfast at. Guns are welcome on premises. Please keep all weapons holstered unless need arises. In such case, judicious marksmanship is appreciated. Well, who doesn't love a little good old gunfight when it comes to your breakfast? Now, I get it. It's just a sign. Is it? Because the reality is, and I'm going to get into this more here the rest of this hour, there is this fake mentality which these people like to live in, a fake reality, in our world, the bad guy comes in and the good guy just pulls the gun, wipes the biscuits and gravy off his hands, pulls up that gun, and just shoots the bad guys, even though there's a whole bunch of people there. When the reality says, oh, my God, bang, 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 oh, my God, I've hit the waitress 3 times, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. That's what really does happen. That was just one sign in that restaurant. That restaurant was a tribute to, and it was the Route 66 Diner in Williams, Arizona. The entire town was, Biden COVID. Okay, it just got to a point with me, and I'm like, do these guys realize what I'm not even going to try? I'm not even going to try to explain 2020, who is president. I'm not. They got their narrative, the let's go Brandon flags, liberals bad. That's all that town was. So I said to myself, maybe it's just Williams. Started in Kingman. Same thing. I mean, Kingman's a bigger town, but a lot of the same thing. So I'm just going to, I will say this, straightforward. If you are a Democrat, if you are a liberal, if you are a progressive, save yourself the frustration and the heartache and just avoid Route 66. You're not going to have a good time with that. You're just not. And at one point, and I'll tell you what, right now, I guarantee if there's someone who lives on Route 66 who listens to this, one side of them is going to be like, damn right, you keep your liberals out of here. And 20 minutes later, they're going to be like, why aren't the liberals coming here? Why are we being persecuted? Because you don't have to be this way. You have turned Route 66 into MAGA world because that's what you wanted. Well, it's going to die when you guys do, because I don't think a lot of young kids today are looking to frantically go to Route 66. And along with it, probably a lot of your towns. That's on you. There was one other person I ran into that was a little MAGA. And it was in the town of Escalante, and I had an Airbnb there, and had to go to the grocery store, and that's one of the benefits of doing the Airbnb. We were able to pack lunches and stuff like that in advance. And I was in there, and I said to the, this is early. I think they opened at 8. I was there at like 8:10, and just the one guy sweeping and stocking and doing the one cash register. Like an old-school grocery store in northern Minnesota. That's kind of the way that this Escalante grocery store was. And I went through there, got my stuff, got there, and we were talking about how things were there. And I'd already gotten a lot of the perspective of the Western mindset. We just got spit and tarnation and we made it work. You know, that sort of thing. Which is just, it's a joke. It's a lie. But the guy there, I said, well, the town looks pretty good. I thought Escalante was kind of a cute little town out in the middle of the desert. And he said, yeah, it was so much better before they built that damn monument. Monument? Yeah, the National Monument, Grand Staircase Escalante. This town was much more vibrant, much better off. Because we had coal and oil and gas. We had lumber in town. Now, we got nothing. We used to have 30 kids in each class. Now we got 10. Well, I mean, that was wrong. I actually went and looked. I think they had one class like 22. But they lost a little people, that's for sure. It varies per year. But I just sort of, after he said what he said, I mean, I'm like, okay, you do realize this really is your bread and butter. The tourism is your bread and butter. I didn't say that to him. But let me take a break. I'll come on back and just kind of try to sort the mind of the Western man, all right, when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. So out in the West, you run into this guy at the grocery store in Escalante, and he's basically talking about how he's cursing the monument. He's sort of saying, so much better. Life was so much better here. We could rip that monument apart and we could, you know, get all the good, valuable stuff out of it. And it was something that I'd actually heard from other people, you know, the other people kind of not talking politically, just talking about, you know, you could rip up Bryce. I mean, we still got Zion, and the guys at Zion are like, you can rip up Escalante. And, we could rip up Zion. You still have Escalante and Giant Staircase. And, oh, you can rip that up. And we still got Capitol Steps, you know, Capitol Reef. Yeah, no, it was kind of one of those things where it was just these people. I think the mentality of the West is this. And first of all, to the Native Americans, once again, yeah, this was not good. This was not cool. What happened was god-awful. And there needs to be at least, how about a basic understanding of this by the white community? But, you know, plug their fingers in the air, scream, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. That's what you're going to get. As the settlers moved across the West, the European, white European settlers, you know, it's some places, Ohio, lots of farm country, Iowa, lots of farm country. Starts getting a little sparser. You get a little further west of that, but still a lot of farm country. And then you get to the West, and there is this, it was this fairly inhospitable land, and the Native Americans, once again, in their brilliance, had figured out a way to be able to sustain themselves with the limited resources they had there. But, you know, were pushed off their land once again by the whites who came in there looking desperately as they traveled from east to west and saying, well, look at all the farms there. There must be a farm over here. And they end up in the freaking desert. And there's not much there. And some of them, you know, tried to flood the desert to grow crops and act like, see, we're making the best. We're making do. And others will say, well, if all we got is rocks and oil under our feet, well, shouldn't we be able to make the most of this? No, the point you should have made was Grandpappy got a raw deal. He should have been smart enough to get out there and say, what, there's nothing here. I'm going back to Ohio. But the people that came in were wanting that slice of America that the rest of the country had. So they basically went into these inhospitable and, frankly, unusable parts of America. I mean, my God, they're talking about how up until it was like 1870, 1880, there's large swaths of Utah where maps basically say there be monsters here. They had no idea what was in Utah. Had no idea. But there comes this mentality of, well, I worked this ground, I made it work. Did you? I don't see a lot of communities like in Iowa or in Ohio, in Utah. I see a lot of areas where it's sparse desert, and you can see not you know prefab homes, but RVs that have had their wheels taken off that people are using as houses. And it's not just one or two. It's everywhere out there. You see lots and lots of poverty, lots and lots of lack of real potential because you're in the freaking desert. Your mentality, this idea, this Western spirit. No, this is why those guys came out of the mountains. I found gold. You know, they were all, you know, all bug eyed and the 49er dancing around like a lunatic because their worthless land had given them some gold. Although they didn't understand the worth of it because they were trying to turn it into freaking Ohio and Iowa. They have this mentality because they took the crud land. They got there late. And once again, this is not despising or dismissing the Native Americans because what happened to them was inexcusable. But they got there late and they had garbage land. And so they flooded it to try to grow stuff. They mined it out to destroy things. And they feel as if this is somehow a grand success story. No, the success story of your community is not your ignorance to the reality that you inherited. But the success story is the federal government setting aside massive swaths of this area before you guys could go out and mine every last national state park to the ground in a search for some validation for the land you should have never tried to freaking turn into Ohio and Iowa. And you would go on out there today and destroy it all if you had the chance, even though you don't have the God-given sense to realize what really keeps your town going is not the oil or the gas or the lumber. It's the tourism. You would wipe out your towns. And as you say, you know, if we tore apart a national park, you'd be the first ones out there saying, well, that's the cost of doing business. But it's never the cost of doing business to stop the oil company and the lumber company and the coal company from ripping apart our national treasures for corporate profits, not to help you. We stop them, and all of a sudden it's a big government sticking their nose into our business. We have this argument here in Minnesota where they want to go do sulfide mining in the northern plains, in the northern tier up in the Arrowhead region. And it's never been done environmentally safe. And they say, well, that's the cost of doing business. They say, well, we'll start with your lake. How about that? Well, I'm just saying. My mentality to the West is this. Appreciate what you got. And granted, you didn't get Iowa and you didn't get Ohio. You vilified a lot of people to get your little corner of dirt, and it doesn't produce much, but that's your little corner of dirt, and that's what you want, and you act like your bad luck is somehow tarnation and gumption. And it's just stupid. You know, you can move. There's plenty of places. Trust me. A lot less hot. And they can grow things. But you want to sit there and be with it. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But realize that if you got rid of the national parks and you went and tore this up, if the big federal government, who, by the way, is responsible for building freaking most of the roads through your godforsaken hellhole, trust me, some of those roads, unbelievable, gorgeous, beautiful. But there's no way on the planet a private contractor would have ever built that stuff. And as you talk about the days when it was a four-day journey to a town 30 miles away, but now you have a road that takes you 25 minutes to get there, you realize that we've had to help you out. And just because you're not smart enough to see the forest for the trees, we are. So before you badmouth your tourism, make sure you understand that's really your bread and butter out there. Wisconsin folks, talk to you tomorrow. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, hour number two on your Monday. Good to be back, guys.
God, I miss Minneapolis, St. Paul, man.
Oh, it's not that it was bad. It was wonderful to see large swaths of America that are just spectacular. I mean, gosh, Zion, Bryce, Capitol Reef, the Grand Canyon, the Grand freaking Canyon. And I'm gonna be the first to admit this. All the photos I'm about to post, don't even come close to capturing how pretty it is. This is one of those places you got to go put your eyeballs on it just to understand how unbelievably gorgeous it is and how great the American government can be at putting this aside. But it's just, you know, that Western mentality. Dude, you have got 100 years of basically having to try to turn dirt into dirt, I guess. I don't know what you're trying to do out there, but the problem isn't us, it's you. And can I just make the suggestion, move? I mean, if it's that bad, I mean, God, I mean, it, once again, the large swaths of the West where you just saw a lot of just unbelievable poverty out there. And it does make me ask the question, Democrats out there, what are you guys doing? It's 40 years. You got people living in basically an RVs without the wheels on them out in the middle of the desert with a compost toilet. And they keep saying, because the Republicans keep telling me I'm going to be a millionaire if we just tear up Bryce and Zion. I'll be a millionaire. They're going to save us one mountain, well, until they want that one. And then that's going to be gone. But it'll be taking years to get to that last mountain. That's kind of the mentality. It's just it's years of basically living in an area that was never meant to sustain human life and trying to turn it into freaking Iowa and Wisconsin, and Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. It is just – it turns you into a fool. It turns you into a fool. It does. 952-946-6205. This trip, Patrick, my wife convinced me to try the Airbnbs. I had not done this before, and there's a lot of them out there with Vrbo, Airbnb. There's a lot of places that do these things. But we tried it. God, that's fantastic. Especially, you know, I don't know what it's like here in the cities. In Vegas, we stayed at Treasure Island on the Strip. Not a bad hotel, and it, you know, relatively cheap for Vegas. But we stayed at Treasure Island there. We stayed at the hotel on Grand Canyon on the South Rim because there are some hotels that got grandfathered in there that are on the grounds there. And those were quite nice. But we did Airbnbs basically everywhere else, which was Knab, also Escalante, and then in Page, Arizona. And have you ever done that? It worked pretty well.
I have not tried an Airbnb. I usually travel solo, so probably not the most economical.
Yeah. It's nice to have a place you can stretch out and come back to and be able to relax and not be, you know, you're sitting on your bed. You know, that's kind of thing. There is something wonderful about that. There was something wonderful about being able to, you know, get my, you know, get lunches packed, go out to a grocery store, buy the stuff for lunches, pack up some lunches, and then be able to save that kind of money. That was great. One thing I will say, okay, I don't know what it is with Airbnbs, but stop with the freaking flavored coffee. I get it. You have a lot of extra flavored coffee and you're trying to unload it. At least have some regular versions. I don't need a melted sundae for breakfast. Now, don't get me wrong. I have creamer in my coffee. I do. But I'm not looking for pistachio hazelnut chocolate extreme. Jesus, what the hell is this? What kind of madman's carnival car did you pull over to pull that coffee out of? Dear Lord.
That sounds like a nightmare for anyone with food allergies, because it's like, we've got something for everyone who's allergic to a food in this one coffee.
There was one place, I'm not going to mention where it was, one place where they put the sign out that said, well, if you, there are some leftovers that people have left behind, and you're more than welcome to use that. And I pick up the mustard. It's mustard. It's mustard. How long does mustard last? Like 5 years? It doesn't go bad quickly. It was expired. You need to run through the old. Now, I'm not saying it's been in their fridge for 5 years. It could quite literally be on a grocery store in a small town's shelf for 5 years. Easily. Could see that. Someone screwed up the order and got 18 boxes of mustard, and so they're still working their way through them, even though they've got to pass the expiration date or best buy date.
Uncle Phil's Christmas ham is still in the freezer, yeah, if you want to help yourself.
We just got our own stuff. I did pretty well. We ended up only throwing away one or two things just because, you know, you're in a small town grocery store and they are all were small town grocery stores. In Kanab, there's a mural in town, in Kanab, Utah, which is kind of a cute little town. Once again, not the best restaurants. But we're in Kanab and the grocery store, there's a mural painted on the side of the grocery store of when I guess the entire town was held up by gunslingers. Like this, you remember when the entire town was robbed? Good times. Let's paint a mural to remember that. Jesus. You remember when we all nearly died of typhoid? Let's paint a mural to that. We had some hospital beds and some corpses. Let's do that. Good times.
That's when things were actually exciting in this town.
I'll tell you, I made the best of it, lost most of my family along the way. I have nothing to show for it, but I wouldn't trade it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't trade it? No, okay. All right. The entire town robbed, you say? The entire town. Western culture makes me laugh because it's just an act. It's an act. It's regret and resentment. I think a lot of it is. Don't get me wrong. There are some beautiful areas of the West. But I think a lot of it is just regret and resentment that they're in freaking Utah or Arizona and not in Ohio or not in Illinois or not in Minnesota where the water is. Hey, okay, let's go through our prerequisite checklist of things we need to survive. One. Water. Nope, not over there. Nope, not over there either. Any over by you there, Chet? Nope. All right, we'll make that one more kind of a guideline than a rule, okay? That's, I think, there you go. I think that's how half the West was settled right there. Just a view into the mystery of what is out there. Speaking of bed and Airbnbs. The Washington Post was up to something here. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word Midwest? Your answer could be one of many in the region's idiosyncrasies, but according to those who list their properties to rent on Airbnb, it's walleye. Bravo. Our work is done here, people. Our work is done here, people. If number two is shore lunch, I think we all can take the rest of the week. I think, no, it's not. Okay. Walleye and shore lunch, if you can think of that as the Midwest, I think we've done well. The Washington Post recently published the results of a data study conducted on Airbnb looking for properties where the owner identified Midwest or Midwestern in the descriptions. It then delved further, identifying what it argues are the most Midwestern things on the planet by seeing which words got used most as a selling point to prospective visitors. The Post removed any reference to place names or brand names from its analysis, noting if it hadn't, Hy-Vee would have topped the list. Really? Duh. Well, nothing gets that. They actually have a nice deli counter, and their salads are actually – the deli salads are pretty tasty. Instead, they great game fish walleye came on top. Hoo-ah, being mentioned in more than 80% of posts. Nice. Where are all you people catching walleye, man? It's harder to catch those, man. This is 80% of posts from Airbnb listings described as Midwestern across 12 states. The second most commonly used word was heartland. Heartland. a popular descriptor for the Midwest, particularly in rural listings. While the region being home to a high-quality classical music will explain why Airbnb owners think the proximity to conservatory or orchestra is a big selling point. Lutheran was the fourth highest mentioned word, with several more fish taking in the top 15, including bluegill, smallmouth, and largemouth. Well, to be honest, smallmouth and largemouth, depending on where you're at, might not be referencing fish. But, you know, needless to say, hey, you'll have your own ways, man. You can do whatever you want, man. I'm open that way. You just get your freak flag on, all right? Outdoor purists make the list two via snowmobile and paddle boat. Paddle boat? I've got an outboard on my boat. I don't have the Memphis Belle rolling through the lakes on a paddle boat. The Airbnb data also dove and highlighted a revealing outcome that property owners in Iowa are most likely to use Midwestern in the description, earning the moniker of being the most Midwestern state in the union. Minnesota was ninth out of the 12, though. All right, fine, whatever. I'm not going to be offended by that. I'd like to my state to be known as Minnesota, not Midwest. Somewhere over there, those crop areas over there, yeah, corn or something. I don't know what it is. It's one of those I states, Illinois, Indiana. I don't know. It's one of them out there. Midwest. We'll just call it Midwest. Anyway, I would recommend. I'm going to be honest with you. I would recommend it, the Airbnb. That was actually a pretty decent experience, and it was really nice, especially after I got lost in the desert on, like, the seventh day. Went out to – there's a natural bridge, and once – not a big surprise. You go out to the southern Utah and northern Arizona. Natural bridges are a really big tourist attraction. I went and we saw three of them. Yeah. We saw Hickman Bridge up at – Hickman Bridge at Capitol Reef, which is – I hope – if you like a two-mile hike pretty much uphill the entire way and not just kind of uphill, like uphill, there you can go see that one. But it's spectacular. I'll post a picture of that one a little bit later on. There was the one over at Bryce. There's one up – if you do Bryce – because Bryce Canyon is basically one long canyon – where it's kind of goes. So they have a road that goes up towards the top, and one of them is this beautiful natural bridge that's there. But we wanted to go out. We were in Escalante, and in part of the Escalante Grand Staircase National Monument is a hike, which, once again, difference between park and national monument. Park will have directions, plenty of signage, great parking. National Monument, going yonder that way for a spell. Okay, God, really? Really? Okay. But what the saving grace was, they said, a lot of people will just hike the river, which is not very – the Escalante River, which is not very deep. It's basically at worst up to your knee. The Escalante River, they can just hike it right up to the bridge. So once we lost the trail, and I am dead serious, we lost the trail. Nothing scares you a little bit more like this is a bad Brady Bunch episode faster than losing the trail in the desert. We frantically – there seem to be trails going everywhere, as a matter of fact. Well, because it's the desert and there's not exactly – you know, it's sandy. Never mind. Go. You'll see for yourself. It's a hoot. And by the way, pack water. It's hot. We were grateful. Lucky we packed we had the canvas backs, the camelbacks, right? The canvas backs. That's a duck. Camelbacks. That's the water holding things. We had those on. Aimed roamlessly through the desert for a while. We came across three people on this walk. And I think this was all the same three people you will run into in these regions. One, what could only be described as a supermodel in a bikini. And I'm not joking. A supermodel in a bikini running through the desert. Okay. I'm presuming not from a serial killer. Two was the elderly couple that, I mean, I am 53 years old, and I was really putting a stress on how much I was going to – I mean, I walked – I think my least walking day was 2.5 miles. We did 4 or 5 miles a few times. A lot of it uphill. I mean, I was tired. I was tuckered. This is more workout than I wanted to do necessarily on a vacation, but I had a blast. But I was put to shame by, you'd go out to these parks and you'd see these elderly couples out there wearing full gear, by the way. Pants, jacket, okay. I guess their thermostat set at flame on, Johnny Storm. And they've got their little hiking poles and they're going through. Okay. You get those. And then the nondescript person who I think was there to eat us. It's one of those three. Supermodel, super fit elderly couple, cannibal. We ran into all three of them as we went out to the Escalante Bridge. I was, you know, you could see they were looking at me. I got some chunks on me. You know, that's good eating. That's just good. Little gravy. Oh, dipping sauce. Delicious. You think I'm joking too. That there are some things about you go to the desert Southwest and you're like, what? And here comes a woman who's fairly attractive in a bikini running. We're like nearly half dead because of the desert heat. And she's getting ready to go do an Ironman. Okay. We got there. We took the pictures. We eventually figured out where the path was supposed to go. Spoiler alert, my screw up. But we ended up having a good time. That was, by the way, I posted the picture of me in the river. Us aimlessly trying to find where we're supposed to go. Oh, God. It was a good time, man. It was a good time. But take a camel back. You'll need one of those. You'll need one of those. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come back. Let's get into some politics and news and stuff. Hey, I know you're chomping at the bit to find out what I think about what happened at the primary. I'll tell you about it. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. And thanks once again to Todd Mickelson and to Brett for filling in, because I knew that when – and as I explained at the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour, this really was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go do this, especially with my kids. So I took the time off, and when I realized, I'm going to miss the primary, I just was like, I can't miss this trip. I got it. I've done too much. So I appreciate them filling in. It was a primary night. I did take some time off my vacation to talk about what happened down in Minnesota 1. And I got to tell you the truth, I am deeply disappointed in the turnout by the DFL down there. Only 55,000 Democrats showed up, my numbers are correct, if I remember correctly, 55,000. There's got to be at least, 300,000 registered voters down there, which tells me all you needed to do was a moderate turnout and you would have easily won the Minnesota 1 race. And there were some people, and I'd said, there were some messages I posted up on the social media pages where people were making the comment about, well, he wasn't. Jeff Ettinger was not putting enough into the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that should have been the centerpiece of his campaign. And I disagree, because I talked with him that Monday, was it the first? We talked with him on the air and we brought it up, and he very clearly said, I'm here to support a woman's right to choose. I mean, it was very clear. And I had multiple people tell me that live in the one that they say, oh, no, we're getting a lot of mailers on this. I'm frustrated because I think what's happened is this is once again goes back to DFL Democratic outrage. And Democratic outrage lasts about as long as sour cream. But then I kept coming back to myself, so wait a minute here. Then what the hell happened in Kansas? Because as you remember, Kansas had a special referendum that was specifically done on their primary day, which meant that only people who were registered to vote could vote on that referendum to allow them to change the state constitution so that they could go through and make abortion illegal. In Kansas, Republicans outnumbered Democrats by a wide margin. And yet, the anti-abortion bill, the changing of the constitution failed dramatically because people did not want the Republicans in Kansas to change abortion laws in that state. And then we also talked about what happened in Nebraska 1. And in that race, the candidate there ran as, you know, very strongly saying, you know, look what they've done. And that was pretty fresh after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And so I'm there are some definitely some mixed messages that you come across with that. And I think one of the things which I think we have to address is something I have talked about before, and I'm not necessarily dogging on Ettinger because I think Ettinger is a great candidate. Now, that district goes to the new Minnesota 1 boundary, which is more Democratic-friendly. And for God's sakes, once again, everyone down there should vote. I don't know what the freaking hell, what was on Hulu or what video game you were playing, but get off your damn asses and act like your rights are being taken away because they are. But I'm going to chalk this up, that one failure of that day, to what I will call the something that I've talked about before, is that sometimes Democrats try to be clever. And there's the term I use is you have to go for the low-hanging fruit. If the Republicans are going to give you something, then basically you've got to take it. And this might be a message for all Democrats, especially Jen Schultz up in 8 as well. Your entire campaign, you know, don't get me wrong. You're going to be on the Iron Range. You're going to be talking about fishing. You'll be talking about lumber. You'll probably be talking about mining. The main core message of your campaign has to be the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the reality of what Republicans will do if they get into power. Same thing. I mean, down in Minnesota 1, agriculture, of course, Mayo Clinic, medical things, of course. I mean, there should be a much more frontal assault. Finstead was allowed to basically, shh, don't talk about abortion. Shh, don't talk about it. Shh, we don't want to talk about that. Polling numbers tell us it's pretty bad. So go to the webpage and erase all those comments I've said all over the years about being, you know, we're going to get rid of abortion and we're going to make women have babies, get rid of all that stuff. Shh, don't say that. That's what I think happened, is that Finstead was allowed to not have to answer for his anti-abortion stances. Ettinger, although was very clear that he was going to fight for a woman's right to choose, it was part of a larger package of issues, and I think it got buried. This upcoming election, my mentality is this: hit them hard. But Matt, I don't want to necessarily have this entire election just be about, I don't care. I don't care. I want to win. In Kansas, where the entire issue was abortion, Democrats won. In freaking Kansas. Do you want to win, or do you want a participation ribbon that only you give a flying F about? See, there's a difference between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans will make up a freaking Ebola to get elected. We'll make up an entire fake contagious disease issue. And with a smile on their face, talk about how we're not doing enough to fight Ebola. Won't talk about anything else. Democrats, if you're out there, listen to me. It's about abortion. It's about Roe v. Wade. It's about making sure people understand this is not the one and done. They are looking to overturn every sexual right you have had get passed in the last 50 years. Gay marriage, gone. Interracial marriage, gone. Contraception, gone. They'll bring back the sodomy laws and tell you how to have sex with whom in your own private bedrooms. That's the Republican Party. And I get it. You wrote a nice 75-page, well-worded thesis on solar. great. Put it in the garbage can. Get out there, Roe v. Wade. Because if it can win in Kansas, guess what? It can win everywhere else. Jeff Ettinger is a hell of a candidate. I fully support him in the Minnesota 1, and I will have him back on for the general election before too long. I think he's got good ideas, not only as far as supporting women's rights and all of our sexual rights, but as well in with agriculture and the economy and medicine down there. I think he's got a lot going for him. But this is not rocket science, people. This is not rocket science. Stop trying to be clever. Stop trying to overthink this stuff. And just get out there and hit them with the biggest weapon you've got, which is one they can't counter. And when they try to sit there and say, well, this isn't about abortion, it is. It's about Roe v. Wade. It's about women's rights to choose. And it's about all the other rights the Republican Party wants to take away. And there's your entire campaign. Because like I said, if it can win in Kansas, it should be able to win fairly handily here. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come on back. One or two other thoughts about primary night before I get into some other stories. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So one or two other thoughts on primary day. I will say this. A lot of people, it's funny. I mean, Ilhan Omar almost lost that race. I mean, she got really close to losing that race. And I remember it was interesting because I was in Utah that night. So I was an hour behind. So it was, you know, I kept waiting and all of a sudden I realized it was like 11:30 in Utah time. And I was like, wow, this still hasn't really been called yet, has it? Don Samuels, you know, came close. And, you know, the thing I'm going to say is this, is I saw a lot of news stories after the fact saying, well, Ilhan Omar almost lost. Will she, you know, she realize that, you know, part of the Democratic base really has got some problems with what she's doing? No. No, it's Ilhan Omar. She's going to do what she wants to do anyway. I will say this, you know, it's if she I think that there's going to be another challenge in 2 years, whether it's Don Samuels or someone else. And so I think that if she wants to run again, I think she might need to change her platform in regards to Minneapolis, particularly, you know, crime and stuff. I'm not saying that she has to become far right-wing county sheriff type of, you know, Republican mentality, but clearly the mentality was that, you know, she has ignored enough about crime and not done enough for the city of Minneapolis to where this was a problem. And Don Samuels gave her a run. Gave her a run. And by the way, that was, and if you're wanting to know where the Republicans are at right now, it's all about crime. It's all about crime. They have nothing else. They have nothing else. I mean, Trump is imploding. Roe v. Wade is this. And so shame on you Democrats if you allow them to take the lead on the only issue they are pushing right now. I mean, once again, let's just give me a suburb, Plymouth. Plymouth. How are you guys doing up there? Plymouth. In Plymouth, say all of a sudden you're running for office up there and someone says, oh, that crime in Minneapolis. Well, if your first words out of your mouth are, well, this is a race for Plymouth, not Minneapolis, you're more than welcome to go run over there. But if you're going to run here in Plymouth, why don't you tell all the suburban moms why you're taking away the right to make their own health care choices? Ta-da! See? Simple. So be prepared for that. The Two Harbor story, dear God. Oh, my God. I was waiting to they called that one fairly early. If you missed this one. Did you guys talk about this at all, Patrick, while I was gone, the recalling of the Two Harbors mayor?
Yeah, Brett and I did mention that on that Wednesday after the primary about the overwhelming decision to recall Chris Swanson.
overwhelming. 86% of the town wanted him gone. Didn't you win 50% of the town? Only 14% were still left to be with you. Wow. The canvassing board of two Harmers verified the votes last week. The primary election, the city is set to move forward with finding a new mayor to fill out the rest of Chris Swanson's term. Former Mayor Swanson was officially out of office this past Friday after the results were approved. Residents voted to recall Swanson midway through his second term after months of public scrutiny for the way his business dealings have overlapped with his election position. He recently admitted he had been on probation as a teenager after years of rumors that he sexually abused a young girl in his hometown of Silver Bay. More than 86% of voters said yes to the recall. That's called not resonating there. The Two Harbors City Council is expected to declare a vacancy in the office of mayor at its regular meeting coming up on August 22nd. Until then, Council President Ben Redden is serving as acting mayor until the office is filled. Redden said he's not allowed to comment unless he has been and he has the consent of the fellow councilors. Understandable. I would like to remain by the books, he said in an email. Swanson has not returned calls or emails for comment and has issued no public statements since the recall vote. Grassroots group Resign or Recall collected signatures from hundreds of residents over the past several months, enough to get Swanson's recall listed on the primary election ballot. The city council had asked the embattled mayor to step down, but refused, stating that he loved Two Harbors. If everything goes as planned, the filing period for candidates will occur and the balance of the mayoral term will be filled by special election at the same time as the general election in November, said interim city administrator Joe Dean in an email. See, you know, you get an issue out there that's pressing, that's got the public's attention, and people show up and they vote. 86% voted to remove the guy from office. Like I said, Democrats, don't overthink this. It's about Roe v. Wade. The entire election about Roe v. Wade. And if they try to turn the argument into crime, Minneapolis crime, just turn it back on them and say, you know what the real crime is? You guys thinking that you're going to tell a 40-year-old woman what she can and can't do with her own body. God, can you imagine the Republicans, how they'd wet themselves with that? Ugh. Oh. 952-946-6205. This story, I'm kind of happy to see this story is going here, but I have a bad feeling where these people are trying to head with this. A federal judge on Friday dismissed a lawsuit brought by gun rights activists challenging the Minnesota State Fair's ban on guns, ruling the ban does not violate the activists' Second Amendment rights. The Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, once again, gun kooks want to put their gun in everyone's face and say, you have to like it. That is what gun kooks do. And these people seem to me to be like gun kooks, that they're, I want to be able to have my gun at the state fair. Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, let's let the guy who's had 12 too many all of a sudden start realizing, you know, those cars that are flying over us on that cable there look like ducks that you shoot. Let me see if I can hit one. Great idea. The Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus and a pair of gun rights activists, the Reverend – oh, God, have you been misreading that book? The Reverend Tim Christopher and Sarah Cade Hauptman filed a lawsuit in 2021 against the State Agricultural Society, which runs the fair. They argue the gun ban was illegal because the Second Amendment is a state law and prohibits local jurisdictions from restricting firearms. The fairgrounds are on state property, and the Minnesota State Agricultural Garden Society is a special state entity. But their arguments did not convince U.S. District Court Judge John Toonman, who wrote that the Agricultural Society has the right to ban guns given its responsibility to protect the safety of visitors. Once again, after all these gun slaughters, these people want more guns, everybody! Oh, God, it's predictable. It just, God, isn't it? Just, hey, you can't go to the state fair unless you got a gun. God, and all of a sudden you're going to start drunks shooting each other at the state fair. Great. But that's what these people think freedom is. They think freedom is grabbing you by the nape of the neck, taking their gun out and rubbing their gun in your face and saying, you've got to like this because this is what the founding fathers wanted me to do to you. Ha, 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 ha. These are really mentally unstable people. Mentally broke into the freaking core people. They are. These gun kooks that want to do this sort of thing. Guns everywhere. Can't we just have the state fair be a gun-free zone? Great. Good guy with a gun. Good guy with a gun sucks at stopping crime. You guys suck at stopping crime. You guys are pathetically bad at it. Well, you got the one case that happened the other day? One? Talked about Uvalde and how the police there were outgunned. Dear Lord. As they slaughtered the kids. Ugh. The fairgrounds are a sensitive location with thousands of people and children present in often crowded conditions and such. Protecting the fairground from gunfire is a compelling interest. Can you just see? I'm serious. Can you just see the guy at the state fair walking through there, and all of a sudden you accidentally hit him, and you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry." It's like, "Would you're trying to start something, man?" No, I'm sorry. I just actually. So it's like you're trying to start something. Well, I'll tell you what. I got my gun on me. Are you a tough guy now, dude? No, I'm sorry. I accidentally bumped into you. You don't look so tough. You're pleading for your life right now. That's right. You should be pleading for your life. I got my gun right here. I'll use it. You can already see that, can't you? That's just. I have. Yeah. Gone to the West. I have very little tolerance for gun kook. I really do. Tuneham did not issue a decision on the Agricultural Society's ban violates the state law prohibiting local jurisdictions from restricting firearms. However, he said the activists did not have the right as private citizens to sue to enforce the law. The activist said as the judge to refer the question to the Minnesota Supreme Court, but he declined. Tuneham's ruling, coming less than 2 weeks before this year's state fair begins, is a victory for the Agricultural Society and Sanity, which said I added the insanity part there. Which said allowing guns inside the fairgrounds would reduce ticket sales and the likelihood that music performers would pull out of the event. Yeah, we can go get, I'll tell you what, we can go get, there's a guy I know that knows a bunch of Conway Twitty songs, and he's great. We'll have him, he'll do a grandstand act. I mean, it'd probably be about 200 people there, but still, it'll be good old wholesome fun, and he can bring your gun and shoot it off during the concert. I've been practicing the gear. Brian Saucer, co-founder and the chairman of the Gun Owners Caucus, said they're considering an appeal. We absolutely believe that people should be able to illegally carrying firearms in violation of Minnesota law, says Saucer said. At the same time, it's unconscionable for a subdivision of government like the state fair to prevent a law-abiding citizen from letting me put my gun right in your face. I mean, I'm sorry. I misread that. What he's actually saying is a citizen from exercising their constitutional firearms. I misread that. You see, I make jokes. I'm a jokester. That's what I do. Public commentary. Ha ha, jokes. Saucer said the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association for Bryn, which knocked down New York's strict restriction on carrying guns in public, changes the calculus of their cause. The Supreme Court's conservative supermajority ruled that Americans have a broad right to carry guns outside their home, although it can be restricted in certain places like government buildings and schools. And so the state fair. Saucer says the Supreme Court's decision set a high bar for when government can restrict people's right to carry firearms. And so this guy wakes up that day. They pass that law. Wakes up that day. Is that what happened here? Wakes up that day. Time to make the state fair gun crazy. Is that what happened? We're gonna make sure when my 6 year old carries a gun. That can't be in the state. I don't think you can do that in the state. But when somebody gets my mail in permit license, is that what they do? The gun safety thing is kind of a joke. Have guns everywhere. Guns everywhere. Yes, indeed. Guns everywhere. Is that what happened? Because when I think of the state fair, I was like, maybe I'll get a pronto pup. I don't fetishize the gun. I fetishize the food. Hey, look. You know what this looks like? Delicious. Oh, Pronto Pup, isn't there anything that you can't do? Oh, yeah. Hey, how about this? How about no illegal guns in the state fair? And we just go to the state fair to look at chickens and ride a few rides, get a Pronto Pup, maybe look at some art, and maybe catch a concert. How about we do that? Can we do that without guns? No, not really. At least we can this year, at least. At least this year, before the non-political Supreme Court puts out a political ruling that says guns are great and Jesus loves guns. Does that, by the way, Jesus? No. I've read the Bible. No, not a big fan. Not a big fan of weaponry. No, you'd be surprised. Yeah, I know. I know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It stuns the mind, doesn't it? What drives some people on a day-to-day basis? It stuns the mind. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hey, I took a few days off. Let's see how those first place twins are. Oh, my God. Why are all the people that are supposed to be getting hits not doing so anymore? We got the pitching now to win. We just don't have anyone trying to hit the ball anymore.
Yeah, but the, you know, it was kind of the recurring nightmare happened again a couple nights ago with 3-1 lead with the Angels down to their last strike.
It's a triple.
The number 9 hitter in their lineup, opposite field, the game tying triple. It was brutal.
Yeah. It's just, you guys got to start winning. I mean, if you're going to, are you going to play in the playoffs? You got to win the division if you're going to play in the playoffs. You're not going to be able to get a wild card. You're not going to. And so, you guys, I don't know those big wood things. See the ball coming? Hit that. Speaking of sports, the teams in town here, they like to do kind of special nights. And kind of, you know, it's, you know, like Scandinavian Appreciation Night or Prince Night or something like that. So it's not a real big surprise that the Minnesota Wild, when they're going to take on the Montreal Canadiens on November 1st, they have got Law Enforcement Appreciation Night. And I have no real problem with Law Enforcement Appreciation Night. There are, as I've said on this show, the vast majority of law enforcement professionals are really decent, outstanding people. City of Minneapolis has got some issues. But, you know, I've made the comment here on the station. Bloomington, Edina, Minnetonka, Maple Grove, Inver Grove Heights, Woodbury, Hastings. Most of your police forces are really good guys, right? Most of them do a pretty good job. So I have no problem with a Law Enforcement Appreciation Night. That's going to be taken on once again at the XL Energy Center. Apparently, though, it's the promotional T-shirt that they wanted to put out. It would have the thin blue line police logo, which is not... That's not about police support. That's about basically some sort of twisted mentality that tries to pretend it's pro-law enforcement, but it seems to be far more pro-fascism than pro-law enforcement. At least from my perspective, when I've seen this here, thousands of social media users on Twitter and Reddit angrily seized upon the thin blue line T-shirt design, causing the Wild to scrub the image from their website on Thursday. I'm clearly very dumb for thinking a team that plays an arena 15 minutes from where George Floyd was killed would make think about twice about this. Minnesota Wild coming in hot with the divorced dad trip, wrote another. Literally, all they had to do is just not make a blanking thin blue line T-shirt and people would have been less angry. How did nobody in their marketing department realize how much of a PR nightmare it'd be to use that specific kind of imagery? Ticket packs will still include the Wild branded Hometown Heroes T-shirt, though suddenly the team apparently feels queasy about showing it off. PR reps did not respond to Racket's request. This came from the Racket. As noted, the decision to incorporate the politically ideologically loaded thin blue line insignia is a crux in this outrage. Supporters of the flag claim it's benign show of solidarity with cops, but its symbolic meaning has become tethered to its on-the-ground ubiquity in the far-right events, such as the Unite the Rally in Charlottesville and the January 6th Capitol insurrection. And by the way, all those guys that had thin blue line flags beating cops. I know. January 6th. It's like the thin blue line thing has nothing to do with supporting police, but more just basically pushing a fascist agenda. That's what it is. Here's what Tim Murphy wrote for Mother Jones. The January 6th mob understood the flag's meaning perfectly well. The symbol has never been about the idea of respecting laws in the abstract. The very idea of redesigning the American flag in such a manner and aggressively foisting it upon everyone else is a statement of dominance and control and authority. Like the Punisher logo is often blended together with the thin blue line flag as a rejoined to people who question the work that cops do, laced with no small amount of malice. Basically, they're for police, but police that basically control the people they don't like while they ignore them. The thin blue line flag kind of steps into the role played by the Confederate battle flag over the last 70 years. The Wild did kind of chime back in. We understand the black and blue flag symbol means many things to many people. Our only intention was to show support for law enforcement for the outstanding work they do in our local communities. Moving forward, we shall work hard to appreciate various groups the way that best reflects our shared community values. So maybe they'll be changing the flag and finding something else to put out there. Hey, it's nice to be back. I missed you guys. I'll put up all the stuff on social media a little bit later on. Have a good one. Got Devil's Radio, Native Roots Radio, all coming up. Till tomorrow. See ya.